Well, Bruce and Bob Ride the Divide is now Bruce and King Harold Ride the Divide. Who saw that coming? I'm Jeff Hoyt. This is Hoytus Interruptus. Welcome to episode 10 of this epic journey along the Great Divide Trail between the Canadian and Mexican borders. For today's call, Bob Horsley, who had to leave the ride for medical reasons a little over a week ago, will join us from here on Vashon while Bruce Morser checks in from northern New Mexico with their new friend Harold from Norway. Our connection was a little squirrely for this call. There were some dropouts. Some of it might be hard to make out, but you'll hear all about the guy's visit with a couple of my own personal Vashon friends, Jim Bazemore and Sue Trevathan, who have a cabin along the trail in southern Colorado. And King Harold gets introduced to one American tradition after another. From the comfort of his palatial Vashon home, we have Bob Horsley joining us. Hey, Bob.
Good morning, Jeff.
Yeah, good to talk to you.
And I'm alive and well.
Yeah, and from somewhere in northern New Mexico, the somewhat grizzled-looking Bruce Morser, still out on the trail, but he's safely arrived in a town I cannot pronounce. Hello, Bruce.
Hi, Jeff. Hi, Bob. The town is called Abiquiu, and King Harold is going to join us here in 10 minutes or so, and we'll get his take on a few of the things that happened this week. But you like to get things started with a count and an amount.
Mm-hmm.
And 2,150 change miles, by quite a bit. And it is interesting. I wish you could see this place that I'm in. We're actually in this beautiful place called the Abiquiu Inn. Abiquiu is the hometown of George O'Keefe. And this is a really cool kind of ranch-like setting with these beautiful adobe homes. There's a separate bedroom for myself and for King Harold. And we actually picked up another rider today, Bart, from the Netherlands. He gets the couch in this giant living room. The thing that's remarkable about it is it's this wonderful, wonderful spot. I mean, this is easily the best place we've stayed the entire trip. But like maybe 8 hours ago, I was sort of wondering if I'd ever get back to civilization again. So things change in a heartbeat.
Well, I noticed when I put the dot on the map that we always put up on the website each week, it seemed like you were only about a week further down the trail than our last conversation, but we haven't talked in 11 days. So it seems like there's a few lost days in there.
Yeah, this has been a little bit ragged. I think I'm beginning to understand that up until this point, all the miles that we've been riding here, this has been kind of the kiddie ride. I mean, this is kind of the Ferris wheel to the egg beater that we've been on for the last week. It all of a sudden got a lot deeper on this end of the pool for lots of different reasons. It's kind of a combination of headwind and washboard, just unrelenting washboard. The surface of the road is also really rough. It's just big rocks, big chunks everywhere. Even the stuff that's supposed to be flat and smooth, it's just rocks everywhere. I mean, the hill is as slow as going uphill. That horrendous downhill we had into Steamboat Lake is not uncommon now.
Wow.
That's pretty standard. And then the altitude this past week has been the highest of the trip. So it has been a real kind of soup of the things that make this riding hard. But I've begun to realize that there's kind of a rule to this bike ride. If there's Continental Divide ride has one standard rule, if I could sum it up, maybe the beauty of any scene that you encounter is inversely proportional to the ease in which it took to get there. So that if you're suffering, you're also digging it at the same time. And I think that's the magic here. That's why it's worth doing this, maybe.
Holy cow. I'm just picturing that. You work hard as hell to get there, and you get the payoff. But there must be a cumulative effect of all of this exertion over all of this time. You've been gone for 2.5 months, it seems.
Yeah, we're not quite 2.5 months. We've been gone for about 2 months from Seattle. I think Bob and I walked onto that ferry boat almost 2 months ago. It will be 2 months by the time I'm done with this ride, and then more than that by the time I get back to Vashon Island.
So you spent a portion of these 11 days with a couple of Vashon Island friends of ours, Sue and Jim.
Yeah, the big deal in terms of climbing out here, there's a section, there's several passes in Colorado mm-hmm. where Wyoming and Montana was a lot of up and down, a lot of seriously steep and difficult roads. But then when you got to Colorado, it stretched out into these kind of epic climbs, you know, that took place over like 20 miles. Some of the roads okay, it's not okay, but it's these long drawn out affairs. And the queen of what they call Indiana Pass, which is a 4,000 foot pass. But once you get up there, it's followed another 3 to 4 peaks of the pass. So you go all the way up there and then you go down a bit. And then you go up again, up, and it concludes with this big descent into Platoro, which is where I bump into Sue and Jim. Jim Bazemore and help me, Jeff.
Sue Trevathan.
And they took real pity on me or helped in a big way. And I should describe this real quick before Harold gets here. So I'm starting out Indiana Pass, all kinds of excited. It's like, okay, this is it, you know. We're getting to like the big climbs in the tour, you know, where the really fun, big kind of Galibier, big show pass. And I arrived feeling actually that morning quite sick. And I didn't realize what was coming. I later realized I've got Giardia, which is not the way you want to go into a really, you got this one 5,000 foot pass and all these subsequent passes. And if I could describe anything in my life as type 3 fun, this would have been it. I didn't laugh or smile once during this thing. I didn't laugh or smile about it except right now. And in fact, when I was trying to write my own little notes, I was trying to write a memory of it. And I had to stop. I didn't want to do it. It was just that bad. Harold saved my tail that day.
Bruce, this was the reason I failed. And this is what we were afraid of. Me facing down the road. It sounds like you got it. In the middle of nowhere. Good Lord. Sounds awful.
Yeah. And it's, I think you and I had different problems, but I think the problem you were struggling with made my ears a little worse here. And it was really hard going. I did not ultimately make it all the way up the pass that first day. I finally just said, I'm going to go camp out in the woods. And by the way, Harold, who we call King Harold here, who's from just joined. Harold,
say. Yeah, so Nick, first I have to explain a little bit why this nickname, King Harold. And when I started this trip up in Canada, I met some nice people and said, oh, I'm from Norway, and my name is Harold, like the king in Norway. and this was a kind of, is it typical? Because this nickname was like referred to back and forth among the people riding this trail. So on this trail, my name is King Harold, and I just hope that the real king doesn't listen to this program.
make sure the stays a little bit local.
We'll be sure and email him a streaming link as soon as possible.
Harold, you are the king, man. You are the king.
Oh, thank you, Bob.
Good hear your voice.
It is funny. King Harold appears, like when I'm trying to write little notes of what happened so I don't forget, I just put K-H in all my notes. It's just easier than trying to write Harold with an A. So
Bruce, you had Giardia in the middle of nowhere and had to go camp and recoup. Did you just stay in one place for a day or two, or did you try to push on?
No, I actually got up out of the woods, and Harold helped me very
much. I saw when we climbed this Indiana Pass, we got half the way up, and Bruce struggling so much. And he was just done. So, and finally he said, okay, Harold, I think you put up the tents here.
The next, I, you know, that was like maybe 2 in the afternoon.
Well, I think it was 12. And he went straight into his tent and stayed there till the next morning.
And I got up again and we carried on up the hill. Harold made me as what he refers to as oat. Oat, you want oat in the morning? I had oats, which not very interested in, and struggled over the next these 4 subsequent peaks. And getting to the end of it, there is Harold standing there. I mean, I had to walk a lot of it. I was just a mess. And standing at the top of the last peak with pumping both arms up over his head, it was the most generous thing. But to get to your point, Jeff, about two other Vashon people, and that being Sue and Jim, and we come down this pass, this final pass, and there is this town of Platoro that is spread out like this tiny little warm town in the middle of these peaked mountains and all these beautiful trees and the aspens glowing gold. And there's this little town, an old mining town that's just a bunch of log cabins. It looks like, remember that game Sim City? And that if you look down on the playing board, you would see all these little perfect little log cabins and people kind of walking in between them. And you could hear them kind of going like you did in Sin City.
Yeah.
And dogs walking back and forth and a flag fluttering. And then there we realized Jim and Sue had a place. And they put us up for the, was it three nights, Harold?
Three nights. And that was so good because we could relax. And I saw Bruce slightly recovering from day to day. So that was very, very good.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Is that where you got on the medication there, Bruce, also?
Yes. In desperation, fortunately, I grabbed Bob's medical kit and I pawed through it. And lo and behold, Bob had a prescription for Giardia. So I just picked the ball up and ran with it. And I don't know if that's the right thing to do, but it saved my tail. It took a couple days, but I got enough that I have to admit, it took a little courage to leave Jim and Sue's house. They had been such great hosts. They fed us. They showed us around. They actually took me on a walk the day before we left, which I could actually kind of do, which is like the most energy I think I've ever put into anything was just walking around. And we got up the next morning and we took off. Yeah, okay. It was pretty good. Yeah. And it was funny. All of a sudden, things turned to better. Where it was a nice downhill. And, you know, once again, you understand this, Bud, where it's just, you sort of stop talking about it because each scene is more beautiful than the next. Yeah. And having had really suffered through the next couple of days, that, of course, means that it's extra beautiful. And we get to this wonderful downhill through the aspens and through this valley. And then we get to this little town of Horka. This is in the middle of nowhere. There is nothing going on here. It's wooded. It's nowhere. In this little town of Horka, there is this epically kitsch little shop. And you walk in, and this very crusty guy, very droll, is sitting in his rocking chair, and he just says, "The store has 7 rooms. Have a look." We walk in, and it's 7 rooms of the most almost kind of obscene collection of Christmas ornaments, angels you can stick in your window, and pot holders. And so we, of course, ask him, "Have you got something to eat?" He's like, "We've got muffins, 3 types of muffins." And so it's like, "Oh, it looks like you've also got pies. We got 17 kinds of pies."
Did you think you were hallucinating at this point a little bit, Bruce?
it was Harold, yeah, back up right here.
Yeah, it was amazing, and for me it was very strange that all these Christmas things, yeah. and so much kitsch.
Yeah, and Harold had a first time culinary experience there. What was that?
I had this corn dog.
Well, your first corn dog.
Yeah. Corn dog. Well, in Norway we have these hot dogs.
God bless America.
They have never tasted these corn dogs before.
Harold had his first 2 corn dogs there, in fact.
Well, once you've had one, you've got to have a second.
We did. We just get, and Harold bought some pies there, yeah, too.
I want to know if you bought a Christmas ornament.
Calories.
Neither of us bought a Christmas ornament. We managed to, but Harold walked away with a prize set of pies. Harold has had a couple of firsts in this trip. If we get a moment where we can cover some of those.
Oh, yeah.
So I think one of the very best rides of this trip was heading towards the town that we're from on this really kind of fiasco Indiana Pass. That's where I finally hooked up with Harold. And then we went from there, kind of a full Del Norte. And Del Norte had all kinds of good things going on for it. it looked like riding in Scotland, not just hills, but like hills and drumlins and steep cliffs and so on in Scotland. It's just absolutely spectacular. And then we rolled down into this town of Del Norte and stayed at this beautiful hotel, the Windsor Hotel, which is a combination of the Old West and kind of classic Old English in one place. And it was just amazing.
And then the most crazy moment appeared, because we checked in the hotel and asked, okay, where could we place our bicycles? And we went through the reception with our dirty bicycles and in the corridor and into a kind of dining room which they didn't use, but was a kind of white cloth on the tables, and there we could leave our bicycles.
This was a formal dining room with white tablecloths, and they said, just lean your bike up against one of the tables.
Wow.
It sounds like your lodging accommodations have gone upscale in the last few days.
Yes, the difficulty of the ride has gone up, but the quality of the accommodations in between some very difficult camps, some really hard camping, that has also gone up. I think the big thing, though, was we took a day there because it was just so nice, and we wanted to do laundry. Harold and I had our arm full of laundry, and we're heading to the laundromat, and Harold got to witness his very first homecoming
parade.
Oh. All right.
I have never seen that before, and that was a kind of very new to me.
My last count, there were 8 homecoming queens, and each one went by on the hood of a car. And dressed in a kind of an evening gown kind of thing, a voluptuous sort of deal. And they would cruise by. And the whole parade was maybe of a quarter of a mile long, a tenth of a mile long, very minimal, but long on the homecoming queens. And Harold said to me, it's like, we would not have this in Norway.
It would be too controversial because it's women on the cars. It's a kind of, but you can't, it's a kind of the car manufacturers, they use that to promote new cars.
That would not sell cars in Norway. Is that what you're saying? Harold.
It was pretty funny to see this. And then the band and the Del Norte team is the Tigers. And it was just a hoot to stand there in the middle of this tiny town with this parade going by and all this kind of deal around these homecoming queens. So we're trying to give Harold as many firsts as we can.
I think between corn dogs and homecoming queens, I think you've just about gotten the entire Americana experience.
You would think so, Jeff. You would think so, but there's more. Yeah, the last couple of days as we've left Platoro and I began to get stronger and stronger again, we headed off into some very rough, extremely remote country, and we camped on a hillside, just, you know, no trees, that sort of thing, just found a flat spot in the hillside next to a road that very untraveled. And in the morning, there's a lot of mooing, a lot more than usual, and we woke up to a cattle drive that was going by the campsite. And this was about 350 or 400 head of cattle.
Wow.
Driven through our campsite. And
man.
At the tail end of this thing. So Harold has been sort of like, gosh, he wish he could see a cowboy. And at the very end of it, this guy pulls up in a 4x4, you know, a little, you know, quad runner, and he's a straddle. And we got to meet Bo Temple, who is the owner of a whole these cows.
Yeah. And that was so funny. Because when before this trip, I thought that, okay, going through mountains, I would see a lot of cowboys on their horses, and I haven't seen any before this day. But then,
yeah, and then how many cattle did you see?
I think it was 450 cattle.
Wow.
And just through our campsite.
And this wonderful guy pops up, and, you know, at first, it's pretty hard not to be worried that somehow, you know, you're on land and someone's going to be upset. This guy could not have been happier to see us. And we talked for maybe, I don't know, 20 minutes, half an hour, and exchanged pleasantries and found out about his life. And yeah, he'd been running cows his whole life. That's what it. And he's about, what is that, 37?
Yeah, 37, 40 years old.
Yeah.
Very nice guy.
Oh, yeah. Incredibly nice. And then at some point he goes like, yeah, I guess I got to get after him. And he buzzes off on his quad. And you can just see him tearing down the road, trying to catch up to the herd. And there were dog cows, those. And I saw about maybe six or seven cowboys.
Yeah, on their horses.
Right. Yeah. They were on horses. Yeah. So we got on our bikes and we caught up to where they were corralling them. And finally, Harold got to see and talk to.
Yeah, I talked to the real cowboys. And they had been riding for 2 days to come there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, now I know what song I'm going to play at the end of this episode. I'll surprise you later.
This has just been this combination of these people that somehow I feel out of place. So I'm sort of worried that somehow they're not going to want me there. Hey, everyone goes by and waves at us and everyone's like, hey, how are you doing? And Bo could not have been happier. And then when we were talking to these two cowboys on their horses, they were actually off their horses, kind of gathering their stuff. And they're standing next to each other. They looked exactly, they had the same beards. They looked like ZZ Top. It's like ZZ Top was out for a horseback ride, you know, with that kind of weird shower curtain beard.
Have you bumped into any more riders that we encountered earlier as far as leapfrogging or anything?
I mentioned that we picked up Bart today. Or wait a minute, let's rephrase that. Bart picked us up as he rocketed through our lives. And then we just decided it would be fun to ride together. So we did. We have not really. Can you think of other people we've, you know, although, wait. Harold, King Harold, KH, just got off the phone with.
Yeah, with Dan.
Dan.
I rode together with my friend Dan from London.
Yeah.
And he had a tighter time schedule than me. And he managed to reach the border.
He did
yesterday.
Oh, great.
Yeah, so
today. Oh, that's great. I'm glad to hear.
But he had a tough time because it had been raining quite a lot and all is mud.
That's our new nemesis, where, mm-hmm. you know, heat was the nemesis for a while. The cold is a big nemesis. I mentioned washboard, headwinds, all this kind of stuff. But the new villain in town, the new virus, is mud. And it is, we've encountered a little bit, not a lot, but the track gets so unbelievably rutted, even if it's no longer wet, it's so rutted that it's just scary to ride. And in the bottom of the ruts is deep mud, and it is precarious, really precarious. So we'll see how that plays out.
So are you out of the big mountains yet, or are you still in high elevation?
Tomorrow is a real tough one. Tomorrow is maybe, do you think it's like maybe our last go at a really difficult patch? We've got 2 days of mountains that should get us down to Cuba, New Mexico.
Okay, so what's the weather forecast? Is it looking decent, or are you going to be facing some storms?
Yeah, I talked to Dan, and he said that
the weather forecast is pretty good.
Yeah.
But what did you find out from Dan?
Dan said this was a kind of very tough ride. And in the book, just said the stretch is for tomorrow is just 33 miles.
Right.
Yeah, so it's very short, but he said that just follow the book.
Yeah.
But because it's 4,000 feet of it's a hard one.
And this is
rough road.
Oh boy. Yeah, just kind of fasten your safety strap and hang on and realize you will get to bed that night. But this will not be type 1 fun tomorrow.
So you feel like you got your legs back under you, Bruce. You're feeling healthier and you still feel like you can finish this ride.
Yes, I do feel a whole lot healthier. I kind of feel like myself. I actually have an appetite. I'm just eating as much as I possibly can. I ate, you know, full dinner last night. Mm-hmm. And then I got Harold addicted to the mashed potato thing, Bob. And then I just decided, well, I got to eat more. So got more, you know, Uncle Ben's and so on. So yes, I'm back.
So Bruce, I know you calculate the times for this. What are you figuring you've got left in terms of days on the road?
Oh, look, it's time to go. I don't really know. It's still too tricky. I just don't know.
I know there are a lot of unknowns out there. I was just curious what you were thinking on that.
Yeah, not yet. We'll talk next time maybe and get that one nailed.
All right. Well, send pictures and we'll figure out when will be the best time next week and do this again. And just really glad you got through the Giardia and feeling better.
Glad you're helping.
Bob, I'm glad to see that you look like yourself again and that your laugh is back and all that kind of stuff. So I'm glad. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm feeling much better. It's taken some time, but I'm feeling a whole lot better. Yeah.
It's been very odd not to have you here and miss you a lot.
I miss being there with you, bud. But yeah. It sounds like riding with the king is working out for you, though. So
I'm just so proud. There I am, riding with the king high in the saddle. It couldn't be better.
I wish you the best. Hang in there, man.
Safe travels, guys.
Okay.
Bruce Morser and King Harold from Apiquiu, New Mexico, speaking with Bob Horsley and me back here on Vashon. We only have one or two more of these before they finish their ride in Antelope Wells right at the Mexican border. But to help them along their journey, now that Harold has witnessed his first cattle drive and met up with some real American cowboys, what should I play? Oh, that's easy. Rolling, rolling, rolling. Till next week, that's Hoytus Interruptus. I'm Jeff Hoyt.
Keep rolling, 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 though the streams are swollen. Keep them doggies rolling, right through rain and wind and weather, hell-bent leather, wishing my gal was by my side. All the things I'm missing, good beetles, love and kissing, are waiting at the end of my ride. Move 'em on, hit 'em up, hit 'em up, move 'em on, hit 'em up, rawhide. Cut 'em out, ride 'em in, cut 'em out, ride 'em in, rawhide. Keep moving, 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 though they're disapproving, keep them doggies moving, rawhide. Don't try to understand them, just rope 'em through. Soon we'll be living high and wide. My heart's calculating, my true love will be waiting, be waiting at the end of my ride. Move 'em on, hit 'em up, hit 'em up, move 'em on, hit 'em up, raw high. Cut 'em out, ride 'em in, cut 'em out, ride 'em in, raw.